Hey guys, welcome to the Extroverted Introverts podcast. I'm your host, Ebony, and here's your weekly insight into me being my extremely outgoing yet reserved self as I navigate my way through love, life, and the pursuit of happiness. This week happened to be musically Summer Walker, Girls Need Love, because duh, we do. What else? I love me some Ariana Grande. She's fun. And surprisingly, my daughter has me slightly into BTS. That And Pan Man song has been stuck in my head. Thank you to my oldest for that. Or no thank you, depending on if you've heard the song before. For self-care, Epsom salt baths have been literally life-changing for me. It's a good way to center myself and my energy. Also, around my house, burning some sage or Palo Santo, just clearing out my auras and my energies in the house. That's what I like to do. Sometimes I burn a candle, a white candle, or sometimes I'll just burn sage or Palo Santo with the window open as I clean. And it makes me feel good and refreshed to start the week. Another thing is stretching. Stretching is a good thing for me. That's a good self-care. That's one of my favorite things this week. And lastly, spending time with my family. I love, love, love family time, the four of us, when we can get together and just hang out. And those are some things that have been, you know, really giving me good peace of mind and putting me in good spirits. So that's a wrap on my favorite things for this week. I have been wondering about, like, you know, relationships and things like that. And part of being an extroverted introvert, or part of myself being an extroverted introvert, is knowing how to operate in relationships and love. And I've been married for close to 10 years now. We got married in 2010. This would be our ninth year. And we've been together since 2005, my husband and myself. And let me tell you, it ain't been no crystal stair, baby. But it's like when you find someone that you know that you want to spend the rest of your life with, you will make the necessary changes and adjustments to meet each other halfway. I don't like when people say, personally, I don't like to say when people say, oh, it's my half, or I met my other half. Like, I think that you come into a relationship whole and you guys just are each other's holes and you balance each other out. And you work in a sense of balanced masculine and feminine energy to make a successful partnership or relationship. And I saw on the internet this week, like just randomly scrolling through Instagram, there was a question, a questionnaire, I guess, if you will, questions from unmarried people asking married people, like just... And I kind of wrote down some of the questions and I thought I might give it a shot at answering them the best of my ability. Now, disclaimer, I am not a relationship expert. I am navigating my way through this shit just like the rest of us. Am I happily married? Yes. Have I always been? I mean, it's we're people. So there are going to be peaks and flows, if I'm being completely honest. And again, like I said, you find someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with and you make it work, right? So anyway, let's start. And I didn't write them down in any order, but I'm going to start with question number one as I sip my Cabernet Sauvignon. Do y'all really stop having sex? First of all, mind your business. And secondly, no, sex is always on the table in my house. Amen. Second question, do you ever find your spouse unattractive? Honestly, I don't. Even when I'm mad at that person, even when I'm mad at him or we're going through stuff, I still, you know, find him attractive. And I would say the same for myself. Like, it's, I've asked him this question before, and we pretty much have consistent answers. We still find each other attractive, even in our worst. And even after 13, 14 years of being together, yeah, I do still find him attractive. Do you ever want to live alone? Honestly, I've never lived alone before. I come from a relatively big family. I am the second oldest of 5 children. I had to take care of my brothers and be responsible for all that shit. Like, and then as soon as I moved out, I moved in with my boyfriend, who is now my husband, and we had kids. So I've never lived alone. Have I thought about it? Yeah, but what would I do with my alone time? Like, think about my kids all day? So no, I don't think I want to live alone. Nah. How do you manage to keep the spark or remain in love? Relationships, just like a business, just like, you know, a friendship, it's all work. And I think that as long as you guys are completely honest with each other and vulnerable and understand that, again, you are people and people are finicky. And as long as you continue to have that shared goal of making it last and wanting it to last and rediscovering new ways to fall in love with each other all over again. Like, again, I've been with my husband since I was basically 19. I met him when I was 18, but we started dating when I was 19. And over the years, I've become a woman with this person. And so the shit that I liked when I was 19, I did not like or enjoy, or I wasn't that type of person in my 20s. And the shit that I accepted or liked or wanted or thought I wanted in my 20s is something completely different now that I'm about to be 33. So it's like, as you grow, I've grown into a different person, and he's still fallen in love with me at the level. He's met me where I am, and I've met him where he is in life together. You know, so it's like we keep meeting each other in the middle, and that's something that I say keeps the spark going. Like, he's no longer looking for me to be the person I was 14 years ago. I'm not looking for him to be the person he was 14 years ago. I am accepting him for who he is today, and he accepts me for who I am today. And that's something that keeps the spark alive for us, I can say. How do y'all handle the situ? Oh, wait, that was still the first one. Oh, are you truly happy, or are you just going with the flow? No, I'm truly happy. I'm not the type of person, if I'm in a relationship, I'm not going to fake it until I make it. Like, if I feel a certain way, I'm not going to fake that shit. You will always know where you stand with me. And that's in any relationship. I don't play games like that. I don't like that beat around the bush. I don't like subtlety. I tend to be very direct. I don't have the patience for those types of games. And going with the flow in a relationship is not part of the process for me. I have to know where we stand so that I know how to proceed and how to digest and, you know, how to process it. So if I feel like shit is on shaky ground, I'm not going to just be like, oh, well, I'll just let it pass. Like, fuck that shit. Like, I'm going to address it, and we're going to have a conversation about where we stand and going with the flow of my ass. Like, who the fuck just settles for that bullshit? Not I, sir. Anyway, I hope I answered that question. Is it true that the first few years are the hardest? I don't remember. The first few years of marriage, are they the hardest? So let me go back. So we got married in 2010. We moved here. We went through, I think that in anything new, it's going to be the hardest. I think, you know, people ask me how it felt like right after we got married, and we'd still, like, we've been together for 5 years, and marriage was just, you know, I guess a part, it didn't feel different when we got married, because just like the first 5 years of our relationship, it was hard because we were learning things about ourselves and each other And, you know, I'd never been in a long-term relationship like this one before, like a real serious one. So I've only had like two serious relationships in my life, my first boyfriend, and then now my husband. And he's my second boyfriend. Outside of that, I was just dating. And so it's like, this is like, again, I said before, like I became a woman with him. And it was hard because there were things that we didn't know how to be in a relationship. We didn't know what it was, what was expected of us from each other as far as being married went. And I think we had like society pressing on us for like what our roles were supposed to be as husband and wives. And we didn't really figure out what that meant to us and who we were in those spaces. And until we sat down and really started to think about who we wanted to be to each other and to ourselves, that's when the shit got better. And it's not like it was like difficult the whole fucking time. It was just like, you know, peaks and flows. And we just decided to, you know, again, I don't like the whole going with the flow thing. So we were very honest and very open and communicative about, okay, what is working, what's not working, what is just plateauing, and where are we meeting in the middle at? And so we just did a real like SWOT analysis, because I'm a logical person, a SWOT analysis of our relationship. And that is how the first couple of years went. Now, I'm not going to say like it was easy, because it wasn't. You're learning yourself and you have to learn another person. And that's difficult, especially when, you know, you have kids in that too. So it's people are very complex, and, you know, so being married kind of adds to the complexity. So I guess that could be hard. I got married when I was 24. So I wasn't, you know, I was still young. But I'll say yes, but and no at the same time. So next question. Do you feel like you had to marry to solidify your bond? Like, no, I think our bond was already solidified, prior to us getting married. I think honestly being married increased our bond, or the process of getting married increased our bond. Like, we really started operating as a unit. Versus, I think we had our lives before we were together in a relationship, right? So he had his friends and family. I had my friends and family and who we were to those people in those spaces. And so when we got together, I think we were still trying to be those people and not really focusing on each other and being immature and all that other bullshit that comes along with like young love and stuff, right? Then we had kids, and I think once we had our second child, the topic came up more seriously of marriage and like what it was supposed to be. Like, I didn't want it to be something. I've never been the type of person that wanted to live in the confines of someone else's expectations of me. I'm very much a think outside the box and be in my own lane type of person, and I give a fuck about what people have to say or boundaries that people put on me, because they ain't none of my business. You know, what you think of me is personal to you, not me. Okay. So I won't say that it was a pressure thing. I don't have that type of background where my family's just like, oh, he needs to make an honest woman out of you type shit. Like, no. So it was a thing that we mutually decided that we wanted to do for our relationship, for our family. And yeah, we went with it. And as we were planning the whole wedding, we were, again, becoming closer and connecting more on the spiritual and conscious level. So it wasn't something that we felt like we had to do. It was something that we chose to do. Next question. Is it worth it? Yes. I will say yeah. I tend to not regret many things. And this is one of the things I don't regret. It's just plain and simple. It is worth it for me. When you're mad at each other, do you stop cooking or taking care of each other? If you want me to be honest, I previously on power. No. But in previous years, operating in Ebony 1.0, I used to be a very vindictive person. So one thing that he appreciated about me was that I was a nurturer, and I guess me cooking for him and things like that. So when I was mad at him or we were mad at each other, I wouldn't do the things that he liked or enjoyed or considered, you know, me highly for doing on purpose, because I knew it would, you know, he would have to talk to me if he didn't have food waiting for him when he came from work or something like that. So it was like, but now, no, I don't do that. I don't like to keep shit going or lingering. He doesn't. We're better and mature, but yeah, 20 something, you know, teenage something. Yes. 30 something. No. Next question. How do you find things to talk about every day and not get bored? Who says you don't get bored? Like, what? Like, you can not be interested in topics that someone has to talk about. I just so happen to maybe sometimes tell people that I'm not interested in that, or in a very eloquent manner. Maybe it's not eloquent, and I think it's eloquent, but fuck that. But I think that I enjoy philosophy. One thing that we've always connected on is the fact that we can philosophize with each other and express our thoughts, no matter how crazy or out there they would be to someone. I really like the opportunity that I have to talk to him about literally anything and just pick his brain and he pick mine, or I just express a thought. And sometimes it goes somewhere and we, you know, develop conversation, and sometimes it doesn't. A lot of my conversation lately has been me exploring things about how I handle situations and what he would do if he were presented with that. And so we go on those, and he does the same with me. So we're just working on, the main focus is kind of like, you know, things on a personal level, and also us bettering ourselves as people. So, and I think that that's interesting. That's always going to pique my interest, to be honest with you. So that's something that we talk about. We constantly find things to talk about. Like, he's always reading new books or listening to audiobooks. He's excited to talk about that. Like, he also does, you know, vision boards and stuff. So things that he's manifesting or working on, we'll talk about those things. Now he's getting closer. I'm a goal oriented type of person, so I love hearing people talk about their goals. Like, that's exciting to me. So yeah, it's always something new to talk about. Sometimes it's just regular mundane shit, and we know where we stand. So it doesn't need to be a whole fucking soliloquy about how traffic works. Like, yeah, that's next subject. So anyway, next question. Do you ever get tired of seeing each other every day? I don't. I look forward to seeing him. I'm sometimes sad in the mornings when he leaves to work. For work, and then I'm anxious for him to get home from work, and if he has to leave to go run an errand, like, I get like a little puppy eyed. It's kind of is it codependent? I don't know, but I enjoy seeing him. It makes me happy. I don't want to like trap him in a box and then like that. I just look forward to seeing him. He's my best friend, so I look forward to experiencing his energy every day. How do you still find time for each other with work, kids, and etc.? You just have to make time. I'm a busy woman. In addition to work, I have a bunch of other shit that I do, you know, for, again, like, philanthropic. And I'm a mom, like a very hands-on mom. And I do study groups with a few people. And then I'm a friend and stuff. But it's like, you make time for the things that are important to you. And I think it's important to, you know, invest that time in the person that you love, because before, you know, I feel like before I was a mom and all that other stuff in between, it was he and I, like, in this together. And I want to make sure that I stay connected to that and connected to my foundation, because he's part of my foundation, and, you know, he feels the same way. So we make time for each other, and it's not like an awkward thing, like, oh, you know, I have to pin you in between my meetings and shit like that. Is like, we talk all day, every day. And even if I have a meeting or something like that or whatever, I'll call him back when I have time, and we'll do things together, even if it's just for 30 minutes. We'll go for a walk for an hour or something like that. But it's, you make time for the things that are important to you. So just as important my kids are, my kids come before anything in the world. You know, he also is important to me, so I make sure that he's on that list of priorities. How often does compromising solve issues within a marriage? I don't know if it's compromisation or negotiation or meeting in the middle. So I used to be I won't say used to be, but I tend to be very stubborn. Shout out to them Tauruses. Okay. You want to rumble with the bull, huh? What sound does a bull make? Is it like a, it's not a moo because that's a cow. Anyway, so he is stubborn as well. So like two stubborn people probably won't get shit done most of the time. But for some reason, somehow, like I think we respect each other enough to be able to agree to disagree on things. And I'll try to see things from his perspective and not think that he's incorrect because he doesn't see things from the way I see them. And he'll do the same with me. Is it like this all the time? Like, no, sometimes we genuinely disagree on shit, and it, you know, we will argue about it until we find some, you know, middle ground on it. So compromising, does it work? I feel like a compromise means you give up something so that the other person gets something in return. And that shit don't make me happy. I feel like we both have to equally, it's quid pro quo around these parts. Like you do something, I do something, and we both walk away happy. It's a negotiation. It's a mutual decision. So I don't know. I don't know about compromising, but I feel like if it's mutual, then each party feels like they're getting something out of the deal, then yeah. But if one person feels like they're not, then you gotta take that back to the board, in my opinion. Next question. Is it possible to fall in and out of love if you've been together for a really long time? It depends on, I feel like that's subjective. Like, define a really long time. That's the subjective part. Falling in and out of love. I will say that, yeah, I've fallen out of love with them, but we had to work to get back to that point. And there are times where I've been unhappy and we've had to work to get back to that. That was a common goal that we shared. Things happened and we just worked through that shit. But again, I was vocal about it. Like, I don't sugarcoat shit. So I think it is, I don't know for other people, and I don't want to generalize it for everybody's marriage and shit like that. I'm just telling you for what works for me and what has worked for me. So yeah, I mean, like when we work at shit is when we get the best results. But if we're not working at it, just like think of it as a plant, is like how I think of it. It's like you have to make sure you refresh the soil, the foundation every now and then. Make sure the food that you're giving it for nutrients is good. If you're just, you know, putting it in any type of fucking soil, then what do you think gonna happen? If you're not watering it or nurturing it correctly, then what do you think is going to happen? If you're not talking to your plant, because I talk to my plant, what do you think is going to happen? Like, you have to do those things with your plant in order for it to grow. Give it the environment that it needs to thrive in, the sunlight, the space, the opportunities and things like that it needs to thrive in. And yeah, it'll grow. But if you're just doing the bare minimum or what society tells you to do to take care of a plant, then you're just going to have a regular mediocre and maybe a dead ass plant. So, message. Next question. How do you face any kind of judgment, doubt, or just negativity from close ones on your relationship or marriage? I don't face it because everybody needs to mind their motherfucking business. What? I think it's like your relationship between whom you are in a relationship with has nothing to do with anyone else. Now, if you bring in that shit to other people, then yeah, of course people are going to feel like they need to get involved and stuff like that. Judgment and stuff. People are going to judge you whether you're right, wrong, or indifferent. Now, I won't say, like, this is particular to, like, healthy relationships, not, like, abusive shits. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, if the person is, like, abusive to you in other in different ways, because there are different types of abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, mental, things like that, then, yeah, those are cause for concern. But if you just, you guys have a disagreement and your people are jumping in and, you know, in a type of way, like, I pretty much lean to the idea of not necessarily involving other people in your relationship, especially your marriage, because that's between you and your spouse. Everybody need to mind their fucking. Oh, I burped a little bit, but shut up, don't tell nobody. Do you ever want the bed to yourself? Let me be quite honest. Yes, because I kind of octopus it out, like I spread all out in the bed. And it's only so much space. And then for some strange reason, I sleep better when he is not in the bed. Is that wrong? I don't give a fuck. But yeah, sometimes I do. But don't tell nobody that. Next question. How did you meet? I was working one day. I used to work at this shoe store. And I was dating a guy or two. I really didn't like the guy. He was lame as fuck. But I think I was just trying something different because I kept dating fuckboys. And I was like, well, maybe if I go outside my comfort zone of, you know, these types of guys, I'll get different results, right? I was on to something. The guy that I was dating, though, he wasn't his sis. So he was extremely insecure. We worked together at a shoe store. Anytime like male customers would come in, he would get super like geeked in a negative way. Like he didn't want me to talk to them and stuff like that. And mind you, I was also his assistant manager. Like, so first of all, before you try me to a nigga, like we were together and then I got promoted to management. And that didn't bode well with him because he was older than I was by a few, like 2 years in. He was very misogynistic, which I didn't put two and two together. I was 18 and stupid, but I wasn't stupid, but I was dumb. I wasn't dumb, but I was immature. Anyway, so he didn't like the fact that I was his superior. Like I was a woman and I was younger than him. And it was all these other shit, right? So anyway, one night we were coming home from work and he was like, what are you doing tonight? And I was pissed off at him. Again, I told you I used to be vindictive. And he's like, what you gonna do tonight? I'm like, oh, I don't know. Probably see what my friends are doing. Go to a party. Go meet some dudes. You know what I'm saying? The usual Saturday night festivities. And of course, he got upset. Anyway, little did I know, my friend, Brenda, was at my house putting together a party. And I just came in from work. Brenda was already on turn up. And my mom and her friends were already having a get together. Brenda kicked them out and she's like, you guys need to leave of my house. She kicked my mom out of her own house. And she was like, y'all need to leave because I'm gonna have some friends over. And I was like, whatever, girl. So Brenda invited some people over and it happened. He happened to be one of the people that she invited over and he would not leave me alone the whole night. I told him I had a boyfriend, even though I didn't like that said boyfriend, I still was trying to be decent, you know, because I got class a little bit. Anyway, he would not leave me alone. But we met that night and we lost touch somehow, some way. Turns out he was like a neighbor. He lived like on the next block and I was friends with his cousin. Again, all of these things. And so it was like a small world situation. So we reconnected a few weeks later and we went out on our first date on my 19th birthday. So we met his birthday weekend in February, and then we got rekindled like the weekend before my birthday, and then we went out on my 19th birthday. So yeah, my friend actually hooked us up. She threw a thing at my house and it's been good ever since. Thanks, Brenda. Do you feel pressure to keep up a certain look physically to make sure your partner doesn't stray because you've let yourself go? First of all, if anybody makes you feel like you being yourself is an inconvenience, an excuse or reason enough for them to go and do some fuck shit, you need to get away from them, because that's not a healthy environment for you to be in, for your self-esteem, for your confidence, and for just your overall ease of mind. So to answer that question, no. I think whatever I feel about my body is personal to me. Whatever I feel about myself is personal to me. Like, thankfully, I'm with someone who doesn't, you know, put me down or anything like that. He does uplift me and encourage me. Whatever, you know, goal I want to set for myself or whatever, he'll even tell me, like, you know, that's not healthy. Maybe go about it doing this way or whatever. But no, I don't feel pressured like that. I've come across people who did feel pressure to do things out of obligation for a fear that the person would leave them and shit like that. I'm like, well, that's not, I don't want to be in that situation, because that's going to be an arbitrary ass, shaky ground ass situation. And one thing about my Taurian ass is I like stability, and that ain't stable enough for me. Okay. Okay. Next question. And last question, is sex important in a marriage? I don't know about everybody else's marriage, but, it's important in mine. Thank you. And that wraps up the, I think it was like 20 questions from unmarried folk asking married folk, I actually had fun with this. I think I'd like to do it again. Let me know what you think. Are you married, single, engaged, looking? What are some questions that you would have? And what are some questions that you wanted to ask or people have asked you? I don't know why people treat being single as if it's like some type of, I don't know. There's a thing, like, people will put expectations on you. I think when I was pregnant, or when I have two girls, two daughters, and people will be like, oh, you don't have a son? And it's like, I already had kids. Like, why are you trying to put more on me? Like, and then when he and I were boyfriend and girlfriend, they're just like, oh, well, when are you going to get married? And when we got married, they was like, oh, well, when are you going to do this? And when we did that, they were like, oh, when are you going to do this? Like, first of all, what is this, your life or mine? And when did I tell you that it was okay to put mile markers and shit like that on my life? Mind your business. So it's like, I don't know. I think that finding someone that you connect with on a spiritual level and continues, and you want to grow with that person in life and through life, is a beautiful thing. I'm thankful that I have a spiritual connection with this person, and we can continue to, you know, go on this journey and fail upward. It's not always peaches and cream, but it works, and it's working. And if it doesn't work, I'll say something, because fuck the dumb shit. And that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in this week on my Questions That Need Answers episode. This was fun. I like doing this. I think I might implement some of these a little bit more in the future. If you have questions, or you'd like to, you know, answer some of the questions that were asked, if you were single and or married and in a relationship, let me know. I'll read them out loud on the show. You can find this show on Spreaker Radio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and a few other things. SoundCloud. Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, this is on there. If you really enjoyed the show, be sure to like and subscribe and share it with your friends. I also accept feedback. I just like doing it. It's a hobby for right now, but I'm always interested in bettering myself and, you know, giving you something that you feel you can take away from it each and every week. You can reach me out at the extrovert introvert podcast at gmail.com, and I'll see you next week. Bye.